Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
He didn't want dinner. And then he went to bed early, which isn't like him. He's the night owl. Lazarus is the night owl. Something wasn't right.
Sent for the only one who could help, who could fix it. He'd help total strangers, of course. More importantly, he was our friend. I promised Lazarus. Jesus would come. He would heal him. I was sure of it.
You know, you can see it sometimes in a person's eyes, that look. And they're letting go of this world just a little bit at a time.
Those 4 days might as well have been 4 lifetimes. Everything I knew about Jesus fell apart. Not that he wasn't the Messiah. It wasn't that. It was more personal.
It was all this pain, all this doubt. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Our brother was dead, sealed in a tomb. And I said to him, if you had just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But he said, didn't I tell you? If you would just believe, you would see God's glory.
I knew I was supposed to embrace those 4 days. That gap in my life, that gap in our lives, where God made no sense at all. It was as if God wasn't even listening. But without those 4 days, before I believed in him, now I believe him.
We didn't understand that, but we do now. He doesn't just give life.
He is life.
Yes.
He is the Christ. He is the Son of God who comes into this world, and whoever believes in him will live.
Amen. You know, believing in Jesus brings great hope and comfort while helping to order the emotional chaos that sometimes is present in our lives. In that video that we just witnessed, two dear friends of Jesus named Mary and Martha, they're portrayed as talking through some of their beliefs in Jesus as they're sorting through an obvious emotional time in their life, right? I mean, that was beautifully depicted there. These two women, Mary and Martha, they're sisters who also had a brother whose name was Lazarus, that Jesus actually raised from the dead. It's described over in the 11th chapter of John. We'll look at it again in a few moments. And before we read that story, to remember all of the different details, I want you to do something with me. I want you to use your imagination a bit, okay? And let's try to situate this conversation, the one that we just witnessed between Mary and Martha, somewhere in the future of their lives, beyond John chapter 11 that we'll read in a minute, okay? So it's beyond that time. It's not only going to be in the future after Jesus had raised their brother Lazarus from the dead, but also after Jesus himself had overcome death when he rose from the grave. Okay, so let's suppose at this point in Mary and Martha's life that Jesus already's gone to the cross, okay? He defeated sin, he defeated death, he rose from the grave. Later, he ascended back to heaven after appearing to many, many, many different people, including his disciples. Now, it's reasonable to believe, we're using our imaginations, yes? Yep, shake your head with me. If you're online, give me a thumbs up. We're using our imaginations here. It's reasonable to expect that those life-changing events in Jesus' story would have caused friends and fellow believers in Jesus, such as Mary and Martha, to remember, yeah, I mean, he raised my brother Lazarus from the dead. Yeah, I mean, that moment affected their belief system in Jesus, yeah? Absolutely. Their conversations with Jesus about believing in him and him being more powerful than death, likely that likely would have swirled in their memories as they processed this good news of Jesus now coming back to life. The glorious resurrection, the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday. I mean, when they heard of that, don't you think they thought about their own brother and what happened then? I do. I think that's very, very plausible. And while Jesus certainly demonstrated his power over death when he called forth Lazarus from being in the tomb, how many days? 4. Say it with me. 4 days. Count it off so I know that you're with me. 1, 2, 3, 4. He was in the tomb 4 days. That's going to be really important in our time this morning. Think about it. Lazarus died and was put in the tomb how many days? Say it. 4 days. And at some point in the future, you know what happened? Lazarus died again. He died again. What happened after he died again? Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a written account of that. There's no historical evidence of that. But we know he died a second time. And when he died a second time, what do you think they did? They wound him back up. They rolled that stone. They put him back in there. Covered it up again with the stone sealing that tomb. That happened. Now, we don't read it in Scripture, but logically we know that happened. He died again. And whenever that time came for Lazarus to die again, how might the story that we're going to read from John chapter 11, how might it impact these sisters? Because now they've got their second go-round with limited mortality. Let's read about the initial belief. Those initial belief moments. And then let's reflect on how those initial belief moments may have impacted their belief in the future when more crisis came their way. Those next 4-day moments. Not literally 4 days, but you know, when we're talking 4-day moments, we're talking about those seasons in our life where it feels like this is going to go on forever. And is there any hope? I believe that our belief in Jesus can give us great hope. Would you take your Bible, turn it on, turn it over to John chapter 11. Let's read this incredibly, incredibly rich and insightful story of when Jesus raised Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus from the grave. It's 46 verses, but there's so much in there. Let's read through it, and then we'll talk about what the belief in Jesus means for our lives. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was, and then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us go also that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb. How many days? Say it with me. 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he's been dead. How many days? Say it with me. 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, while there are multiple instances in this story where we see this subject of belief being referenced, man, there's a lot of emotion swirling in this story, yeah? All over the place. I mean, belief is all over this story. If you just want to mark it in your Bible, verse 15, there's belief. 25, there's belief. 26, there's belief. 27, there's belief. 40, there's belief. 42, there's belief. 45, there's belief. There's belief all over this story. And saturating this story in the middle of all that belief is all of these emotions. It's all over the place. Those two form a stew, an emotionally believing stew, right here in John chapter 11. I mean, think about it. Put yourself there. There's so much pain in this story. There's anxiety in this story. There's grief in this story. There's feelings of just feeling out of control. Like you're driving along at a high rate of speed and all of a sudden the steering wheel comes off and you're still going and you jam on the brakes and they give out and you've got no control. That's what is going on here inside. And it's a Jesus take the wheel kind of a moment because it just came off the steering column. You got to do something now or we're in serious trouble. That's what's happening in this story. That's what Martha and Mary are feeling. And as we read their engagements with Jesus, they're just vomiting all of their control issues and emotions onto Jesus once he arrives in their home after Lazarus has been dead. How many days? Say it again with me. 4 days. And so just as Mary and Martha were portrayed in that little video that we saw, don't you think they probably were talking it out? They've sent word to Jesus, and Jesus just didn't hear. Can't you just see them talking this out, talking this out, talking this? Isn't that what we do? We talk it out, we talk it out, we talk it out. Yeah. You go, why are you saying that? Because did you notice how similar their responses were once Jesus got there? It's as if they had already talked it out. I mean, look again with me. Martha engages Jesus first in verse 21, and then Mary does in verse 32. And notice how each of them produce these if statements to Jesus. It's as if they've already rehearsed this, waiting for Jesus to get there and do something in the middle of their emotional chaos. Look at verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, what's that word? Say it with me. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now go down to verse 32, and we see Mary connecting and engaging with Jesus for the first time. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, what's that next word? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's like they've been talking it through. waiting for Jesus to get there. And now he gets there, and now they just blah all over him. What's happening here? Well, during these parts of the story, both Martha and Mary, what are they bringing to Jesus? They're bringing incredible amounts of grief, incredible amounts of emotion, and frustration at their lack of control in a car that's going 70 miles an hour, and they've got their hands on the steering wheel, but it's not on the steering column. It's just all over the place. And think about it. Mary and Martha both knew from their previous interactions and perspectives of Jesus that he could have and he should have changed their brother's situation if only he had been there. Now, while they likely wish that they could control the situation, they realized they weren't in control. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of a situation? Where, man, I mean, you got both hands at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel of your life, and it just comes right off the steering column, and you're like, man, I can't steer this thing with my knees. I wish I could put it back on and reattach it. It's just, you ever been in that situation? I mean, emotionally, you are frustrated, you're scared, and life is just out of control. All they could feel was the weight of pain and the heaviness of the darkness that was brought on by their brother's death. I mean, think about it. For Martha and Mary, it was at the very least a disappointment that Jesus wasn't there on time to heal Lazarus. And yet, Jesus knew, I've got control of the situation, while still feeling deeply compassionate for Mary and Martha. He saw their grief, and he didn't just blow past it. He connected in it. Let me just ask you a personal question this morning. Where do you have disappointment with Jesus in the circumstances of your life? See, if you find yourself frustrated today and angry today, disappointed with Jesus, know this, Jesus is big enough to handle your emotions. Okay? He's big enough to handle your emotions. Jesus loves you enough to allow you to verbally vomit onto him in prayer or screaming at him. Screams can be prayers, yes. Tears can be prayers, yes. Emoting onto him while walking or trying to navigate through your feelings as you process it all in real time. Perhaps processing this chaotic season, this four-day metaphorical season that feels like 4 months or maybe even 4 years or 4 lifetimes. We'll just call it 4 days. And maybe you're processing that with a counselor. Good for you. Good for you. As you're doing that, as you're considering doing that, know this. Jesus has deep compassion for you in the middle of that, before the resolution has come to your heart and soul. Just as we see him demonstrating to the sisters here in this story. And just like Martha, what Jesus does, Jesus invites you to exchange all of your dreaming about the past and wondering what might have been. He invites you to exchange that for a look to the future that could be with him. If you released control to him, he's got control anyway, but to release your sense of it. Maybe what you need to hear today is this. Maybe you need to forgive yourself from something that's painful in your past. One definition of forgiveness, I've shared it with you before, is this. Forgiveness is giving up all hope of ever having a better past. And perhaps today, on this day, you need to move towards forgiving yourself of your past and something that happened in your past and begin to move forward with the compassion, the love, and the grace of Jesus into the future that he has for you. You see, not only is forgiveness a powerful part of healing our past hurts and habits and hang-ups in our lives, but also, it is paramount if we are to understand and to experience the fullness of what believing in Jesus can mean for our lives. You see, Martha's conversation with Jesus in verses 23 through 27 regarding the resurrection and what she believes, friends, they're some of the most powerful verses of belief in all of the Bible. When Jesus asked Martha if she believed in what he said about the resurrection, her yes to who Jesus was and him being in control even over death, man, that made a powerful statement. Listen to what biblical scholar Herschel Hobbs says about that response. Martha's response was the greatest confession of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, which is recorded in the Gospels. Martha made hers from the pit of despair. She had sent for Jesus in her hour of great need. And so far as she could tell, he had failed her. Yet she still believed in him. Wow. Wow. Go back to the text with me. Listen again to this statement of control. And the question that Jesus asks Martha during the most intense crisis moment of her existence. Verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Now, hear Martha's confession with fresh ears. Verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Look here with me. This verb right here from Martha's lips, "I believe." Say that with me. "I believe." That verb right there, the form of that verb, when Martha said, "I believe," here's what that means. "Yes, Lord, I believe" is a verb that means I've believed in the past, I believe in this moment, and I will continue to believe into the future. That's the verb tense in the Greek language of what Martha just said that we just see, I believe. No. I believed in the past. Something happened in the past with you that caused me to believe. And it is affecting my belief in this moment. And it continues and will continue to affect how I believe in you into the future. That is a very pregnant word that is so full of life that it keeps giving into eternity when it concerns Martha's belief. I mean, think about this with me. Situate yourself beside a weeping Martha whose brothers just died, and she's deeply disappointed that Jesus wouldn't see fit to show up on time. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. I mean, think about it. This is a woman choosing to move through her pain, through her control issues, through her crisis of belief in the darkest hour, while simultaneously giving Jesus full control of her life. Past, present, and future. And every single person on the planet must answer the same question that Jesus asked Martha concerning the resurrection and Jesus being in control of all of your life, past, present, and future. Please, please, please look again. Please look again at Jesus' question of complete control concerning all of life. Verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? Today, do you believe this? That's a personal question for every single person that hears my voice, whether in this room or online. I'm preaching this April the 18th, 2021. You may be hearing this online years into the future, and this question still is as imperative for you in the moment you are hearing it as in the moment that I'm speaking it. Do you believe? Because your answer to that question has everything to do not only in your initial crisis of belief in life that happened in your past, it also has significant importance in whatever crisis you may be going through right now in the present. And significant importance in what kinds of crisis you may be dealing with in the future. Martha believed Jesus. And you know what? So did Mary. So did Mary. And just to prove his own control over all aspects of life and death, for the benefit of all of those who were present. Notice it's not just about Martha and Mary and their dead brother. It's about to touch everybody who was there on that day. And it absolutely is about to affect our friend Lazarus. What Jesus did next allowed his control of the situation to shine brightly in their darkness and be on full display. Look again at verses 38 to 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor, for he's been dead." Let's remind ourselves, how many days? Say it with me. 4 days. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if," there's his own if statement, "if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Man. Jesus responds to Martha and Mary's if statement with one of his own that dealt with belief back there in verse 40. You might just want to underline it there in verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? Well, here we go. Get ready. You chose a good day for me to be here. Their belief in Jesus would lead them to seeing and experiencing the glory of God during their painful moment that had been ongoing for the past how many days? 4 days. 4 days. Regardless, Jesus is in control. Would you just declare that with me? Jesus is in control. Jesus is radically secure in who he is. Jesus is never in the dark when it comes to what he's going to do next. Not in his own life, nor in our lives. If you've got a phone, take your phone out, because I want you to take a shot of this next quote that is so powerful. Get your phones out. Take a picture of this right here, and then just read through it with me. Jesus never panics nor loses control based on our insecurities, grief, or lack of understanding. Jesus always understands his own intentions, motive, and is radically secure in his authoritative control. Would you start every single one of your days this next week? Before you open your social media and start scrolling, liking, retweeting, or posting, would you just get that? Just get that right there in the forefront of your mind and embrace it with all of who you are. And when you get ready to go to bed at night, would you pull this back out and remind yourself of this truth and see what kind of impact it has on your life this week and what kind of ways your belief in him may begin to shift. Because what this quote right here means is that no matter what's going on in our 4 days, whether it's 4 days or 4 months or 4 years or 4 lifetimes, whatever's going on, and all of the pain and the grief and the misery and the uncertainty and the darkness, whatever's going on there, all that stuff that's coming out of John 11 that Martha referenced both in the video and right here in John 11, 39. Our belief in Jesus, hear me, can carry us through because Jesus never loses control. Jesus is never uncertain, no matter what our 4 days may entail. You can remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because of that truth right there. Sabbath, to catch your breath. That means it all doesn't depend on you. So you can stop sinning and working 8 days a week, 25 hours a day, 366 days a year. And rest a minute. Jesus was not uncertain on the day described in John 11 at Lazarus's tomb, nor was he uncertain the second time Lazarus would die. Remember, he died again. Even though the second time Jesus would not be at the tomb, he would be at the right hand of the Father. Friends, that's a truth we need to hear today. It's this right here. Jesus is never uncertain. And he always invites us to believe. He's never uncertain and he always invites us to believe. Now, we don't know much about what happened next. We, aside from a couple of recorded instances with Lazarus and Jesus, how they interacted with one another, we just don't know a whole lot about it. After Jesus initially raised Lazarus from the dead, from that darkness in the tomb. But what we do know is this, is that after Lazarus came out of the tomb, he had his grave clothes removed. Look again at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." There's no telling what kind of an impact that statement had, certainly on Lazarus, but on Martha and Mary. I mean, the story goes on to state that in those moments of Jesus controlling death and darkness and leading to freedom, it impacted not only their little family, but everybody around them. Would you look at one last set of verses, 45 and 46? "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done." Think about that. Many believed because of what they experienced Jesus doing on that day that changed Lazarus from being dead to what? Alive. From being bound up in darkness to being freed up to walk in the light. Wow, what a great way to live. And as we think about that important moment, snapshot in time, let me ask yourself this question. Let me ask you this question. How many of us today are bound up? Today, how many are bound up today? Bound up with grave clothes from our experiences of whatever our 4 days may mean for us. Are you living in the middle of one of those four-day seasons in your life that has you feeling mummified, bound up? Maybe it's dealing with unemployment or separation or divorce or depression. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a custody issue. Maybe it's a long-term care issue that just seems to be long-term. How long, oh Lord? And in your heart, you feel bound up for long days or weeks or months. Or years. See, perhaps even those 4 days could be filled with literal death of loved ones. And it's led to something inside of you that's called a regret or bitterness or addiction or debt or a host of poor choices that sometimes come when the pain starts compounding. And those choices during different seasons of our 4 days may lead us feeling bound up and dead on the inside. And if that's how you feel today, remember this truth that comes forth from this story that we've read about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, about who is in control. Jesus wants to just say it as clearly as possible. I am in control. And he says the same thing to you that he said to Lazarus on that day. Come out. Come out. Unbind him. Unbind her. Let him go. Let her go. Because Jesus is in control. Would you just declare that with me this day? Jesus is in control. We never really were to begin with. And in the middle of that reality, we have an opportunity to do what Mary and Martha chose to do. And it's this word right here, believe. Would you say it with me? Believe. Would you say it again? Believe. Today you have a chance, I have a chance to walk in freedom from your past and live with a new sense of awe and wonder at who Jesus is. Because of his power over sin, death, Satan, and hell. You have an opportunity to believe everything about who Jesus is and what Jesus has control over, which is what? Take a guess. Everything. Everything. Because, friends, when Jesus died on the cross, he canceled not only our sin, our debt, but with it any regret that was unnecessary. All canceled. All washed. And when he rose from the dead, Jesus reminds us, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. That's what he said. Therefore, we can continue believing Jesus throughout our life, no matter what our four-day season may look like. And however many times we walk through four-day season, Jesus invites us to believe and to be reminded, I'm in control. I'm in control. He is the God of all of our days. And friends, this is how Martha and Mary could continue believing in Jesus even when their brother died again. They remembered their belief from the past. It affected them in the present and never quit impacting them into their future. They remembered. Will you remember? May the same thing be said of our lives when we find ourselves in the middle of our own 4 days, however many of those we walk through in the future.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.